Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, legendary legends, kitty girls, and ladykins of all ages. Welcome back to Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast. I'm Alec Mappa, and I get to say, here's Lonnie Love, America's sister.
And I am so happy to be here with you. We are recapping All-Stars Season 7, which is on Paramount Plus. How are you today, Alec?
I'm excited. I'm still recovering from the excitement of being on a billboard in Times Square with you. We were just talking about it. I called every friend in New York City. I have several, believe it or not. And I told them all, if you're in Times Square, and everybody in New York is like, you're going to make me go to Times Square. It's like, nobody who lives there would be caught dead in Times Square. But I did have a couple friends who live in Hell's Kitchen who went to Times Square and waited the 20 minutes it took for our faces to come up and sent me videos and everything. And I think I forwarded them to you. It was very exciting.
It is exciting.
Yeah. Thank you, MTV.
Have you ever been in Times Square?
This is why it was so moving for me, Lonnie. I used to live in New York City. I was a starving NYU student. And while I lived there, I worked, you know, the half-price ticket booth in Times Square?
Yes.
I used to work there. Wow. In Times Square, this is pre-smartphone. We had to run to the theaters to get the tickets to sell in Times Square. And I was so broke. I remember one time scraping together enough money, maybe like $2 or $3, so I could eat at Sbarro.
Wow.
So I could get a slice of pizza.
And now look at you. Now your face is in Times Square.
In Times Square. So where was your first billboard, Lonnie? Where was your first kind of like, oh, that's me up there. That's something.
Well, I've been in Times Square. Maybe this is probably my third time.
Wow.
Within 20 years of doing stand-up comedy.
Was it for the real?
It was before the real. Oh. I had one for a show that I was doing a long, long time ago, many moons ago. Mm-hmm. And then the second one was for the real. And that was so exciting.
Yeah.
And then now this one. And it's always the beginning. So I love the beginning. It's positive. It's positive. Positive. So
I heard it's going to be up there till July. So if you're in Times Square and you take a picture of it and you DM it to me or Lonnie on Instagram, yes, we will follow you.
We will follow you and we're going to repost it. So, and we thank everybody for listening to us,
yeah,
Squirrel Friends.
This is a recap episode. So since it's a recap episode, spoilers ahead.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Because we're talking.
We're talking and we're not going to hold back. And if you're riding in a car or something and you haven't seen it yet, or if you're at home listening to us while you're doing the dishes, stop listening if you don't like spoilers, but keep listening if you just want to hear the dulcet tones of America's sister, Lonnie Love.
Well, you know what? This is episode 5. It was one of my favorite episodes because it had to do with education. I feel it's education.
Yeah.
I love education. Anybody right. that knows me, I love this type of play on education. And so this was one of my favorite episodes. For the Maxi Challenge this week, each queen will give a draguation commencement speech.
Yes.
And we're going to see Carson and Nikki Glaser mentor the queens.
Yes.
We also had a runway theme called Veiled It.
Veiled
It.
We
had the lip syncing and we had the blocking. So episode 5 was one of my favorite episodes.
They're all jam-packed. All of these episodes.
Yeah, all jam-packed. They're all different.
Yeah.
And this is why we love Drag Race, because mm-hmm. every episode is entertaining, it's inspirational, mm-hmm. it's colorful, it's right. fashionable, it's stylish. It's like, you know what? I'm describing you, Alec.
Aww, cut it out. Oh, shucks, I'm speechless. Now, you're a college gal. You went to college, right, for your engineering degree?
Yes.
Now, while you were getting that engineering degree, you were like, I can't wait to engineer. Or was there some part of you going, this is plan B in case the stand-up career doesn't work out?
I always knew that it would be plan B because you got to understand, where I come from in Detroit, Brewster Project, shout out to the people, my project kids.
Are the Brewster Projects still there?
They just torn them down.
Oh, gosh.
But for people that don't know, the Brewster Projects gave us Diana Ross, gave us Lily Tomlin. And a host of other great performers, because we all know that Motown
and Lonnie Love.
Oh, yes. But you know what? When I was a little girl, though, really, really little, Diana Ross used to ride through the projects in her big white limousine after a concert. And she would just ride through the whole neighborhood and she would wave. And us little kids, we would just follow her and follow the car. And that's when I could run.
My gosh.
And for me, a little girl, seeing her on TV and then seeing her ride through the area was always inspirational. And she was beautiful. And it was just something to aspire to. So I
was
always
that every time
that.
She was in Detroit? Mm-hmm. Like every time
every
she
time
went to
she
Detroit,
would,
she would do a victory lap around
back.
The projects.
Yep, she would ride through the projects.
I didn't know that.
And it took me 25 years, and I was finally able to meet Miss Diana Ross. And when I told her about that, of course, she remembered.
Uh-huh.
And it was just great. And her daughter, Tracy Ellis Ross, and Rhonda Ross, we always see each other, always hug. Evan, her son, came on The Real, and I was able to interview him and his wife. So the whole Ross family, they're like my extended family.
That is a full circle moment.
A very full circle moment.
Did you cry? Was it weepy when you met her?
Of course.
Yeah.
No, I'm very emotional anyway. It was just so great because she was, to me, our original queen.
Mm.
I mean, people have to understand that back then in the 60s, what they did with Motown, and if you study Motown, Berry Gordy, he would take these women and men and he would put them in etiquette classes. He would put them in hair and makeup. So that was like for the first time, especially for African Americans, to see women, especially African American women,
glammed up
mm-hmm. with the sequins, with the high hair, you know, beautiful shoes. And that was my first taste of glamour. So I just have to thank Miss Diana Ross for that. And, you know, and when I see queens, you know, emulate her, I get inspired and,
it's special.
And I get emotional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's special to you. I mean, it's a childhood hero. And the thing is, like, I'm old enough to remember seeing Diana Ross on the Ed Sullivan Show. That's how old I am. And I didn't have the black context that you have. Mm-hmm. So to me, she was just like this ultra glamorous woman who had eyelashes on the top and the bottom.
Yes.
And then in the 80s, when I started watching Dreamgirls, when I was a student in New York, then I was fully immersed in all of the Supremes mythology. And the looks that the Supremes did are so influential in the world of drag.
Yes.
It's like there's a glittered sequined dress that's covered. Everything is covered in sequins. Their clothes were impeccable.
Definitely. So we love our inspirational women and men that help us to celebrate drag.
Which is why Drag Race is important now, because this is a moment that's being recorded. There are now contestants on the show who grew up watching Drag Race, who have already been influenced by it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is just awesome. But that tells you what can happen when we all work together. And this is the reason why you see this movement of drag and RuPaul, and this is worldwide.
Yeah.
You know, we never thought that this would happen. So since we're talking about Drag Race, let's get into
episode five.
Okay?
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Yeah, so the workroom after the blocking.
The Vivian won and she blocked Monet.
Which was the right move.
Right, because yeah. Monet had not been blocked, mm-hmm. but she had a star. Yes. So that was very important. Now, Jinx was annoyed to have won, but not be able to receive a star because she was blocked that week before.
I'd be annoyed too.
Well, yeah, I mean, but it's the game. It's what you deal with.
Then it feels like, I feel like Jinx, since Jinx has been so successful, that she's going to be blocked every week if she's not in the top two.
You know what? That's what happens when you have talent, Alex. You know what I mean? People going to always, haters going to hate. They're going to try to block you all the time. So you got to come up with a strategy, you know? But my girl, Raja, had no wins and no stars from last week. So
none at all.
Episode, I was like, she's been almost there. Her and Evie both have, you know, they're so different.
So close.
Raja is the older, more experienced queen. Evie is the person who's, she's different, totally different, totally her own person. But they've been making it work in this competition. That's why they're legends.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to see them explode a little bit more for episode 5.
Me too, especially Raja, because she killed it during Snatch Game, and Evie killed it during the Fairy Tale Challenge. Her Big Bad Wolf was absolutely amazing. Raja, with no wins and no stars, maybe she'll excel in this episode. The Vivian revealed that she wanted to block Jinx again, but couldn't because Jinx was in the top two.
And you know what? Now we're starting to create some drama. I've been waiting. It took to episode 5. And this is the thing. Jinx and the Vivian, they're both the same when it comes to their talent. And they're both so competitive. Yes. And this is creating drama. And you know what? We got to have a little drama. I was waiting for it. I was waiting. Okay. Yeah.
The camaraderie is starting to wear off, I think, because the stakes are becoming very apparent. It's $200,000.
Yes.
It's $200,000. And these girls also spend a lot of money on looks to get here. So that $200,000 is really going to come in handy.
Yeah, and they got to cover that. So
yep. So there's no mini challenge this week. RuPaul comes through the door. Hello, hello, hello. And this time she was dressed as MC Hammer.
You know what? Get out. MC Hammer without a shirt.
She was MC Hammer without a shirt. I can't explain this. It was like a suit that was sleeveless.
Yes.
That she wore with gloves, metallic hammer pants, and boots. And she even did the typewriter dance.
And, you know, because RuPaul is so tall, it's a different look.
It's a different
but
look.
It works. It works for her because it's like she puts the glam to it. So she comes in. She announces that each of the queens must write and deliver an uplifting commencement speech for all the graduates around the world, whether they're getting a PhD, an MBA, or a beauty license from the International House of Pancake Makeup. And what I loved about about it is that they're going to actually workshop their speeches with Carson Kressley and the guest judge, Nikki Glaser. Can I say that I love Nikki? She is a comedian. She currently has a show called Welcome Home, Nikki Glaser. It's a reality show about her and her family and things like that. I love female comics. Anytime there's a female comic, I love them. You know.
Have you worked with her before?
Yes, I have. I've worked with her, and we do E! Daily Pop, and she's just a wonderful, funny, can get it type of comic. So I was glad to see that she was the guest judge.
I enjoy her on all the roasts on Comedy Central. She's pretty brutal. Rue tells Monet, because they're blocked, they get to choose the speaking order, which is always like a big bone of contention on all of these comedy challenges. This one is tricky, though, because it's not necessarily a comedy challenge. I mean, you can give a funny draguation speech, but, you know, since it's a draguation and commencement speech, they want a little bit of earnestness, a kind of like a sincere moment somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. So this is tricky.
Have you ever had to do a commencement speech?
No, never. I was never a leader in school. I was very popular, but when it came to actually doing something like that, I was, no, I would never. Did you give a speech in school?
My first commencement speech for my college, which was Prairie View A&M University, is a HBCU in Texas.
Oh, Texas.
Yeah, Prairie View, Texas. I had to give it. It was 2 years ago, and it was a makeup commencement because of the pandemic. Mm. So the president said, would you come down and do it? And let me tell you, the thing about commencement speeches, you want to make them inspirational, but you also want to make them short and to the point, and you also want to add a little humor. Yeah. So that's what I was really expecting to see from the queens. Even though we're high on funny, there needs to be some type of inspiration. Right. That's the assignment. So it just can't just be jokes.
So what was your inspiring message? What did you tell the people in Texas?
My inspiring message was like, I'm glad y'all made it. Y'all made it through a pandemic. Y'all done made it through college. You can do anything now. You can do anything. You know?
That's good. Yeah.
So it's like, and that's what you do. You take simple little things and, you know, of course, you try to include a little bit about yourself. Yeah. So that's why I was automatically thinking this is going to be a very good challenge, because it's not necessarily being 100% jokes.
Right.
Can you add a story, or can you add something inspirational? So that's what I was looking for.
Oh, I love that.
But then there was a twist.
Another twist. I can't
RuPaul
take one more twist.
Revealed that the top two of the week will receive two legendary legend stars, one to give to another queen and one to keep for themselves. I was like, oh!
That changes everything. And originally I thought that when they said you're going to get two stars, that you would just get two stars and you would get to keep two. Mm-hmm. So it was like, oh my gosh. So if somebody has one already, they're going to have three, but they have to give one away.
Yeah, because I was like, well, I just keep both of them for myself.
That's how I'm getting to the finale. And I'm not going to give away my legendary legend star.
But then this is the thing. Okay, so RuPaul said that Monet gets to do the speaking order.
Okay.
Now, you're a comedian. Mm-hmm. How important is it? Say it's an open mic.
Okay.
How important is the order for you? Say you got eight people.
All right.
And you're picking the order. How important is that order?
It's really important. The first one, you have to kill it. If you're first out of the gate, you have to come out swinging. And I don't mind being first if I can do that, because the first one has to read the room. And while the other comics are waiting to go on, I can watch you kill it and get an idea of what the room is like, right? Mm-hmm. So the first one is tricky, but I don't mind it. I know comedians. Do you know Jessica Kirsten?
Yes, I love Jessica.
She will never go on first. And I said, why? She goes, I always bomb if I go on first. And I've never seen her bomb. Of course, I've never seen her go on first. I think second or third is great. Mm-hmm. And if you go on last, you're the headliner. And you have to kill no matter what. You're the last one up. People have gone through five other comics before you. So you also have to keep that energy going. Mm-hmm. And you have to be the cherry on top of the sundae. Do you go last a lot? Are you a last comic girl?
Well, I do headlines, so I have to go last now. But if I had to pick, this was the order that Monet did. She put herself first, then Shay, Trinity, Raja, Jada, Evie, Jinx, and then she put the Vivian last because she was upset at the Vivian for blocking her.
Right.
But in my opinion, being a comic, first of all, I think if I was Monet, I wouldn't have put myself first. I would have at least put one or two people and get the crowd warmed up.
Me too.
I would not have put myself first.
Me too.
I definitely wouldn't have put the Vivian
last in the headlining position.
I would have actually put the Vivian first.
Me too! I would have pushed her out of the boat first and say, check out the water, see how deep it is, what the temperature is, and you go first. Because I think first is trickiest.
Yeah.
Because you have to kill right away.
We'll get to that, but I didn't really like the order.
Do you think she really put herself as a disadvantage going first?
I think she did.
Okay.
I think she did. Right. I will say, I think order does matter.
It matters. It absolutely matters.
Like I said, I would have put the Vivian first and then maybe Shay, and then I would have put myself third.
Yeah, I would have put myself second or third. That way you kind of get a sense of everybody. When I was doing stand-up, when my son first came to live with us, when he was five, we adopted our foster kid, I would go up at the improv on Melrose first and then take an Uber home. And also, when you do stand up in a club, we have something, I don't know what you call it, the fuck off light, the red light, like your time's up, get off the stage. And when I first started doing stand up, the minute I saw the thing, I would stop talking. I would like be in the middle of a story and go, okay, that's it, bye. Because I couldn't wait to get off. But now I know, okay, that's the light. I have to shut up.
Just take your time. Now, this is the thing. Because RuPaul, for this twist, is giving the top two winners two stars, one extra star to give, Monet was trying to use the extra stars as leverage. So she was going to each of the queens.
That's right.
Of course, she went to Trinity and said, you know, if you get in, will you give me a star? And if I win, I'll give you a star. She was plotting. She was plotting and planning.
Yeah. She's all about strategy. Bob the drag queen says that Monet is obsessed with strategy.
Really? Well, you can tell. And so then we go into the actual workshopping.
And Jinx didn't seem worried. I think speaking challenges are Jinx's forte. And the Vivian seemed to have a strategy as well. She didn't seem intimidated by the positioning. Jinx doesn't seem to be worried about her placement. And they said they wanted to make it tough for the Vivian to follow. But since those two have similar talents, you know, in terms of characters, in terms of performance and acting, neither one of them seems intimidated by the other.
But the star twist has all of the queens excited. Because now you can use the star to kind of like show someone that you like them.
Right.
And it's like we only have at this point two people that don't have stars.
Right.
Which is Raja and Evie.
You know what? The strategy for me would be because if you have a star, there's a target on your back. So I would give my star to somebody who hasn't won anything, any stars yet, either Raja or Evie, because then it would take the attention off of me. Do you think that works? That's a notable strategy?
I would have done that strategy too, but there's only one queen that hasn't been blocked that has a star, which is Jada Essence Hall.
Right.
And Trinity was making sure to poke fun because in the strategy is to remind everybody, hey, she's never been blocked, but she's got a star. So that's another part of the strategy.
She's really good in that workroom at stirring the turd. She's really good at getting everybody agitated.
It was like hilarious.
Yeah.
What did you think about the workshopping between Carson and Nikki?
I thought they were really supportive. And Nikki, the kind of advice she gives is the kind of advice I like because doing stand-up or performing in front of people, it's short attention span theater.
Yes.
You got to keep it tight. You got to keep it quick. You got to keep it funny. We don't have 5 minutes for you to get to a punchline.
Exactly.
In this challenge. In a roast challenge, in a comedy challenge, you got to come out swinging. And I feel like that was the advice she gave.
It was funny because during the workshopping with Nikki and Carson, Shay got emotional. And she, you know, I got emotional. Whenever Shay gets emotional, I get emotional too.
I know.
You know what I mean? But they told her and they gave her great advice was to use that. Both of us have been coaches like that before.
Right.
How did you feel when you were coaching? Because I know when I was coaching and it was the actual roast for the comedy, all of the queens took my advice except for one. We know who that was.
Oh. Utica. Oh, my God.
My girl, Utica. I love her. But it was okay. We really try to help you.
Right.
And some people are like that. Some people are like, you know, I know you're trying to give me advice, but I want to go my own way. And that's cool, too.
I was a coach during the storytelling challenge, and it was right before the finale of All-Star 6. So I had Sonique, I had Ginger, I had Trinity K. Bonet, and a couple of other people. And my coaching was about, like, heightening their strengths. I wanted to point out what was good about their story and kind of steer them away from things that I didn't feel were as strong. Like when Ginger came out, she was so prepared, but it seemed like a prepared answer and less like a spontaneous, I'm going to tell you a story.
Right.
So I wanted her to be a little less, not less prepared, but make it seem like it was less of a speech and more like us all sitting around and having a kiki.
Yeah.
Over drinks.
See, that's the reason why I like this type of challenge. Because first of all, especially with this group of queens, they're all legends. They're all winners. So we know what they can do when it comes to the fashion, when it comes to the makeup, when it comes to the looks. But give them a challenge that is actually going to challenge them. And I think this is what this actual challenge did for a lot of them. I know Raja during the workshopping told Carson and Nikki, hey, I'm just gonna come out as this character.
Right.
And it's funny because when she said a little bit of it, we all looking like a girl.
I know. It was a misleading edit. I think a lot of the times, you know, people will talk about my outfit's a disaster, I don't know what I'm gonna do, and they'll come out and it's great. But Raja came out and said she was going to give a commencement speak talking about all these spiritual concepts and precepts. And both Nikki and Carson were like, I got nothing.
Like,
I don't know. I don't know.
And then when Evie came out, she didn't have anything. It's like she was incredible.
She did have fail. Her theme was failing.
Yeah, she just came out to them like, yeah, I'm going to talk about failing. And so, I mean, as a viewer, I'm like, girl, well, okay.
I know, but you know what? There's a grain of truth in that because you learn more from failing than anything else. Like, we talked earlier about bombing. And just like, you learn from bombing. You learn what not to do. The worst audition I ever had was for Star Trek. And I was playing one of the away team, and it was all technical jargon, you know, according to the triangulation of our instruments, blah, 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 blah. And I tripped the minute I opened my mouth. I was mush mouth, and then it just went worse after that. And at the very end of the scene, the Star Trek audition, I'm supposed to fall off a cliff and die. So I said, I'm already dead. This is the worst audition I've ever had. So after I finished speaking, I went, like I was falling off a cliff. Nobody thought it was funny. Nobody. It was just. And I was like, I could feel my face getting hot. Like I was just so mortified. So that's my bombing story. But I learned that people who write Star Trek take it very seriously. So come prepared.
Let me tell you, one time, Alec, this is years ago, I played a dead body for a SVU.
What?
Yes. That's how
I did. Did you have a scene before that? Or were you just dead?
I was just dead. You know, like, they cover you up, the body, because I really needed the money. And I was like, okay, I need this money.
Yeah.
I know I'm not going to have any FaceTime. It doesn't matter. It's a check, right?
Yeah.
I kept breathing. Because my stomach kept, and the director kept going, cut! Stop breathing! He stopped breathing for 30 seconds. And I was like, sir, I'm sorry. My stomach is big. And I can't only hold my breath. And, you know, the cloth kept going up and down.
Was it a crime scene or were you in the morgue already?
I was in the morgue. Supposed to be silent. And you can hear me breathing. And then you can see my stomach.
I love that. I was murdered on NYPD Blue. That was so we have that in common. We've both been murdered on crime procedurals.
But see, this is the thing about the fail. Because I couldn't die, I ended up getting an extra part where I was living. And that is my fail story. Okay? many moons ago.
If you'd been able to control your breathing, you would have gotten that part with more screen time.
You see? So I can relate to what Evie was saying. So
that's brilliant.
Okay, so we get through all of the workroom, and then we go to the main stage.
We go to the main stage. And you know what? I want to talk all about the main stage because there were some pretty exciting looks. And we'll get to the main stage right after this break.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back! The main stage. The looks were pretty... I mean, they were pretty right on.
Oh, definitely. Let's start off with RuPaul's outfit. Because, you know, that's always my favorite. The lights go out.
Yeah.
You see the silhouette.
Dun, dun.
And I'm like, oh, my goodness. I mean, RuPaul is just...
It's an off-the-shoulder gown.
Yes.
That is ruched on one side of her hip, and it's multicolored stripes, horizontal stripes, which you can only get away with when you're 7 feet tall. I mean, truly. I mean, I wear a shirt different color than my pants. I look like a fire hydrant because I'm 5'4". She had this kind of like pink top bodice that went into a lighter shade of rose, into yellow, into peach, into orange, into black, an aqua kind of reveal underneath that long skirt. And again, it's beautiful.
Only RuPaul could wear 7 colors and it works, okay? Yeah. And of course, that blonde hair. It reminded me of blonde Betty Rubble from the Flintstones.
Oh! The hair.
Loved it. With the long diamond earrings.
Yeah. It's going to be rare for her to get it wrong. I can't think of any time where it's like, I'm not that crazy about that.
You know what? Once you know your look, you're okay. When you know what you need, you know what your color, your hair, you know, everything. And we've seen RuPaul have different color hair, but I'm really feeling the blonde that she's been wearing this whole time. So you have Nikki as the guest judge. You have Carson Kressley, and then, of course, our favorite, Michelle Visage.
Mm-hmm.
And we start off with the speeches. So tell me your thoughts on those.
Okay. So Monet comes out, and she has this fro that's kind of Kid and Play. It's it's a little Gumby-like. Remember Kid and Play in the
80s? Ain't gonna hurt nobody.
Ain't gonna hurt nobody. Oh, was that Tony? Anyway,
no, that's Kid and Play.
Kid and Play. She has a Kid and Play kind of fro with the pick sticking out of it, and she has on her graduation gown. Again, she's the first one out of the gate, and I thought she gave a perfectly respectable performance. But since it's the first one out of the gate, she's feeling the room. She's kind of feeling, where's this going
to
go?
Which is why it goes back to what I said. I didn't want her to go first. Mm-mm. And she was able to choose the order. Mm-hmm. Now, what I will say is that the opening was a little quiet, mm-hmm. but that ending was massive. I mean, inspirational. It was great. But if she would have put someone before her,
yeah.
But she ended strong. It was a good speech.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have been better if she was maybe second.
I agree. Next up is Shea Coulee.
I loved her speech. First of all, I loved her graduation look. She had like this little hat with fur cocked to the side.
Yep, a little fascinating.
Yeah, I loved that. And mm-hmm. I think her speech was, out of all the speeches, true to form, because she talked about being this young queer person mm-hmm. and being able to use that. And it came out so emotional and it came out so inspirational. And this is what I love about Shay. She is using everything in this competition. You know, when you saw her see Naomi Campbell and walking, she keeps using that. And that's why you know she's a winner. She's a legend, because she knows how to take her vulnerabilities and make it into something and put it in the challenge. And it comes out wonderful.
She values her own story. Mm-hmm. And she was personal. Yes. Talking about being in school, talking about not having the confidence. Although I did like when she said, I was popular then and I'm popular
and
now.
And she also said, you can't shade the sun.
You can't shade the sun. And it's certainly true in her instance. But I think that's part of the magic of the show, is kind of like the more of yourself that you reveal, the more vulnerable you are, the more personal you are, the more the audience leans in. And she's really good at that.
Yeah, definitely. Up next, we had Trinity the Tuck.
Trinity was hilarious, as usual. But again, I love how she incorporated her personal mm-hmm. story. She talked about this story where she had to quit school to take care of her grandmother who was ill, and how that shaped her as a person. But that also made me feel about like what type of person she was. You know, somebody who is in the dynamic of a family member is in trouble and they need me. So what is my decision here? And not everybody would make that decision. Some people would go, it's too bad, Grandma, bye.
Exactly. But she was able to use that story, weave it in, and she added jokes, because she says, you know, you can't mm-hmm. say tassel without ass. It's like, and she's so warm. She looked fabulous. She had this sequined cap and matching gown with a peach scarf. She looked beautiful.
Right.
She was she had a great mix of heart and funny, so I really enjoyed her speech.
Yeah.
Up next was Raja.
Okay, so this is why it was a misleading edit, because when she was doing her prep with Nikki and Carson, I was like, I don't know.
I think
this is the preview of her bombing. But she was great. Mm-hmm. She was great. It was all about like, don't take it seriously because we're all going to die. When she said that, that just kind of leveled everything. It's like, okay, all right, that is a hard, cold truth. But she somehow made that funny.
Yeah, she was trying to be like this guru, this sect leader. At first, like you said, it was misleading because you're like,
I don't know if that's going to work.
But in her speech, she gave 5 things for graduates to look out for.
That was genius.
And one of them being pay your taxes. Boy, is that true.
But it was all practical, lived wisdom.
Yeah, but it was also funny because at one point she says, yes, and be kind, even to the poor people, because you never know when a camera is around. It's
to record your good deed.
Oh, God. So I really enjoyed that.
That was really funny.
Next up was
Jada Essence Hall, who comes out in that purple drag you. I love that all the graduation gowns were like drag themed. They were all kind of, they were the most glamorous graduation gowns.
I know.
I've
can
ever
you imagine?
Seen.
I loved her opening line. She said, good evening, bitches. I don't know why. It's a simple line, but coming from Jada Essence Hall, it was hilarious. She's like, good evening, bitches.
Yeah. And again, she doesn't take herself seriously. And she has this character who's kind of full of herself, mm-hmm. but it's still endearing. So only somebody who's endearing can say something like, I'm proud of myself just as much as the rest of the panelists is proud of me.
And then she said, hold for applause.
Hold for applause. I'm going to say that from now on if I feel like I'm dying on stage. I'm just holding for applause. I'm just holding for applause.
And I think Jada was able to tell her story in her speech as well, which is wonderful. You know, up next we'd have Evie, and she opened up with a prayer to the creator, and she says, to RuPaul.
That was a good foundation for the rest of her speech. I thought she did really, really great. I thought that she was honest in herself.
I was waiting because of the workroom and her saying, I'm just going to talk about failing.
Mm-hmm.
You are right, Alec. The failing theme worked for her.
Yeah, because it was real.
It was emotional. It was inspirational. It was
With social media and everything, with TikTok and Instagram, we're all getting a version of people that's perfect and put together and done. And she talked about, like, life is grittier than that. You know, you have to mess up in order to get to a certain place. And so I loved when she said, good luck and fuck it up.
Definitely. And her graduation look was hilarious.
Yeah.
She had all these, like, drawings on her gown of cats and clouds. And it was Evie. Yeah. It was Oddly. But it was
Evie
her.
Evie Oddly. She's queen of the queerdos. And once again, and she had that kind of Cruella de Vil wig with black bangs and white on the side. She was awesome.
Next up,
we had Witchy Poo. We had Jinx Monsoon.
What'd you like about her?
She came out dressed as a witch, and she said, clearly I was expecting to go to a different graduation of some kind. So she's already armed with story, version of, like, the moment before, which is, she's so detailed.
Yes.
And so she comes out, she's kind of spouting all these spells and everything, and then gets to the meat of her speech.
And she gave a wonderful story about trauma and processing it. Mm-hmm. And at first you're going, where's she going with this?
Yeah.
But a good comic, and you could tell Jinx is so good at comedy that she knows how to suck you in.
Yeah.
And then she goes, boom. Funny. And she did a callback to the actual car story within the story.
Yeah.
So she's just excellent. I mean, she knows what she's doing.
She told a story about getting hit by a car in Amsterdam. And getting up again and not feeling the effects till later.
Mm-hmm.
Just gotta process the trauma while it's happening. That was so good. It was really, really good. And it's kind of like she's just demonstrating week after week that she knows how to play this game. She knows how to play the game.
It was funny because at one point, RuPaul actually did a callback to Jinx's story and says, I was the one driving the car. It's classic. It's like,
it was me.
It was me, bitch. It was me, you know.
I love that.
One thing I will say, because this last person was the Vivian.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that Monet thought to put Jinx and then put the Vivian.
Yeah.
Because I think this kind of tested a little bit.
Yes, I think it made the Vivian step her game up.
Mm-hmm.
And she did. She stayed in character the whole time as somebody who was drunk at a graduation. Mm-hmm. And it was an interesting choice for her to make because apparently she's sober.
Yes.
And she was very good. She was stumbling right out of the gate. And I kind of agreed with Nikki and Carson. Like, I don't know if this is going to work, but it did.
It did.
It did.
Because she is an excellent performer.
Mm-hmm.
And she understands timing. Like you said, throughout everyone's speech, she was in character. I mean, at one point, she had lipstick on her teeth. She was like, you know, she was falling over, leaning over.
She was a mess.
And I believe this is the genius of the Vivian is that she's like, how can I remind people that I'm coming up and actually make people anticipate I'm coming up? That's how you do it. And she did it well. The speech was funny. She was funny. Her timing was on. She's a headliner. This is what headliners do, baby.
That's what headliners do. It made me think of, like, what was my drunkest moment in public? I was once staying at the Wynn, and I was going down for the breakfast buffet. I was hosting a Pride event, and I guess I'd stayed out really late the night before. So I'm going down to brunch. I'd woken up at noon, and I got into an elevator full of black women, and they were all giving me a really shady look, like, And I was like, what's that about? And so we're riding down the elevator, and one of them turns to me and goes, you don't even remember, do you? And I was like, what? He goes, we had to walk you back to your room. You got to the elevator and said you were lost. And that you couldn't remember where your room was. We took you to your floor. We walked you back to your room. And I was like, I don't remember. I had no memory. That's why I don't drink anymore. I did not remember.
Oh my goodness.
An elevator full of black women saved my life.
We always save everybody's damn life. Thank you, sisters. Because I wouldn't have him here at this podcast if it wasn't for y'all. Always saving y'all.
The Vivian's face plant at the very end of the speech was so good.
It was so good. And she stayed there. She stayed there so long that RuPaul said, is she okay? Like, RuPaul, I was like, get this bitch up. Is she all right?
That was so good. I love a good face plant. That was really, really amazing. So we go from the challenge where I think everybody did a pretty solid job. I mean, the thing is about the all winter season is like some people do better than others, but I haven't seen anybody bomb yet.
No, not completely.
Yeah, not completely.
But I mean, but when they're strong, though, Alec, they're strong.
Yeah.
When it's strong, it's strong. I think Raja was strong. I think the Vivian was strong. I really appreciated Shay and her story. And people were different, but when they were really strong, they were really strong and they stood out.
Right.
You know?
Right. They all understood the assignment. I think certain people were more successful than others, but each and every one of them understood the assignment. Speaking of assignment, we're going to the main stage runway. And so the runway starts and Rue says, I misheard it because I thought she said nailed it.
I did too. I thought she said failed it.
Oh, so we both need to get our hearing checked is what I'm hearing. Lonnie, we both have to get a hearing test. It's veiled it.
Veiled it.
And the first one up is Monet Exchange. Oh. And I thought this was so clever. Oh. Her dress was all made out of feathers. Oh. So she's like a bird. And her veil was like a birdcage over her head.
Just beautiful. It was a baby blue mixed with red feathers, white center. It looked like it was shaped in a heart in the center. And then the rest was all blue feather. It looked soft and plush and beautiful.
It looked so pretty. And I love this hem at the bottom. Oh. The skirt's really tight at the bottom. That reminds me of a lot of things my mother wore in the 60s. You know, those tight pencil skirts that came down at the bottom. It was so pretty. And I got it. I was like, okay, veiled it.
I know. That's when it hit me too. I'm like, oh, okay, veiled it.
Okay. All right. It's going to take a while, but I can learn. Okay. This was beautiful. The next up was Shay Coulee. And I love this. Again, she values her own story. And she said this was a tribute to her grandmama, who is a big gardener. And it was a gardening outfit with a long veil that was pleated. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the whole thing was pleated, multicolored pleated pantsuit with a dress on top of the pants. And it kind of reminded me of those Issey Miyake pleated outfits that Cicely Tyson used to wear on the red carpet.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes, with the matching hat. They call them accordion pleats. And the reason why you like them is that when she was walking, it just flowed. Everything just flowed. And her veil, which was the long pleated, like a nude color, it just looked so wonderful. And it did remind you of gardening, but it was a glamorous gardener.
Glamorous gardening. Like, I don't want that to be anywhere near the dirt or carrots in my backyard because it's so beautiful. But I love when she talks about her family and when she says that her drag in its highest form is a tribute to the black women in her life. This was a perfect example of that. And I love the way that veil flowed in back of her. She was like a really glamorous gardener or beekeeper.
Definitely.
Your drag mama came up next.
Yes. Trinity the Tuck. She had on an all red, and her veil was actually what was like a hat. And she had this really super long train. They're calling her Trinity the Train now instead of Trinity the Tuck.
That's right.
And she actually was like, this is the last time I'm going to wear a train. And RuPaul said, no, keep it going. You know what I mean? It's like, it works for you. This is what you do. This is what we expect from her. All red, very beautiful. It looked like it had ruffles, the shoes. And she said that the train was really heavy because at the end of the train were like, they looked like a bunch of roses on the end.
Roses.
And it was just beautiful. I mean, when I say just a beautiful red bride, she looked like to me, I just love her, and I love her style. I love how she's so ladylike, and she knew the assignment, and she did it well.
This veil is so theatrical because it's a veil that turns into a train.
Oh.
And the train, you're right, it's gossamer in the middle, and at the end, there's all these rosebuds that are absolutely beautiful. And again, I love her looks because I look forward to it every week because I know she's not going to repeat herself. I know that she's done a lot of trains, but this doesn't look like the previous trains that she'd worn in the other challenges.
No, she's going to do something different with it. And nothing is wrong with that if you're going to do something different.
I love it.
But this next look was very different from Raja.
Okay, I love this. She came out with a magazine, a giant magazine in back of her that said the word voile on it, which is French for veil. Que vous? Comment vous dites la Vivienne? So she came out, and this is the thing about Raja. Raja's 6'3", all right? So you put her in these platform heels. She's at least 6'5", 6'7". But this big background in back of her that's practically a billboard shrinks her. The geometry of a big magazine backing you up actually made her look smaller. And then she showed a ton of leg. Like, she's wearing this very ruched black dress that looks very drapey, but it's two different lengths. The back is full length, and the front only goes up halfway her body.
Yes. And she matched it with blue evening long gloves. And I just thought this was such a creative look. It was something totally different. But we know Raja as our model queen. So to come out like this, having the whole magazine as her veil, it's like it was creative and I loved it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. She's our fashion girl. And now I think about that every time she comes out to the runway. Next up, Jada Essence Hall.
She came out in an all black sheer dress and everything was covered head to toe. Black and sheer. And I could barely even see her. If they hadn't have said that was Jada Essence, it could have been anybody. But for me, it worked. I loved it. Very, very elegant, long, fun. It's her.
It was very kind of widow in Barcelona morning. I mean, because she had that kind of like a mantilla look in the front. Now, if you're a raised Catholic like me, this is what you wear to church when you're in mourning. But she makes it glamorous. And I would have liked to see her face a little bit more. I like the veil. I like the mystery of it. But it did obscure her a bit. And she does the most incredible makeup. I would have wanted to see her face just a little bit more. But overall, I like this a lot.
I don't know how she would have shown it in this outfit. Unless she did like a cutout and maybe rouged it or something, or, you know, did you know, some type of way. But this is what she chose.
All of the faces, I mean, you're veiled, but, you know, all of the other queens, like Trinity's showing her face. Shay kind of, didn't see Shay's face, but it kind of worked. I just wanted to see a little bit more of Jada's face. That's all.
Okay.
Next up, Evie Oddly. I love this. She came out, and I don't know how she got this material. It's almost like a glitter Indian blanket.
Yes.
It's almost like, it's like Las Vegas meets the Southwest. Like, right? It's this Indian blanket. So it's almost like this hippie look, but it's so elevated. And her veil was like a beaded curtain. You know, like when you walk in.
It's like a hood, but then she has the beads to veil her face. And it's very colorful. This material was like shimmery. And so when she moved, it moved with her long, beautiful body. Yeah.
I love this look. And also that beaded curtain reminded me of how many times I've been drunk in a bar and gotten caught in a beaded curtain like it's a spider web. Get me out of here!
You know how many times I've been on stage and there's like a beaded curtain, I couldn't find the opening? So that's what that reminds me of. Like, how the hell you get out of here?
The very first time I was presenting at an award ceremony at the Beverly Hills Hilton, you know, where they have the Golden Globes. So nobody told me where to get off, and the entire backstage was a curtain. And I kept on looking for the opening in the backstage until I discovered that it was just a wall. A curtain covering the wall. So I'm just like, other presenters are on already talking, and I'm still on stage trying to get the fuck off. Ridiculous.
Oh, Alec, that's funny. Okay, up next, Jinx Monsoon.
This was magical.
Oh,
This was magical. She comes out in this violet mermaid dress. I love a mermaid gown on a drag queen because it's always flattering.
Yes.
On every shape. Yuriko O'Hara's done mermaid dresses. It looks good in a big girl. It looks good in a small girl. She came out in this, what would you call this? Violet. It's kind of like a violet mermaid gown.
Yeah, it's like a lavender, and her veil was in two parts. Of course, the front was covering, but then the back was lifted by, it looks like butterflies.
Butterflies, and there's an underpinning under the veil, so the illusion is that the butterflies are holding up the veil.
Oh.
It's sticking up and back. I thought this was so original and interesting, and I bet there are a couple of brides who watched this and said, well, you know, I'm going to have a veil with butterflies holding up my veil.
You're going to see, but this is what Jinx is known for. She's known for the fantasy looks. She's known to give you that fairy tale, fantasy, princess. And so this was something that was so creative and so original. And you know what? This is the thing that a lot of people don't realize, that a lot of designers look at these runway looks and then, you know, like what you said, and then the next season, you'll see it incorporated.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That's why they watch Drag Race. They be taking the ideas of my queens. Give them credit. Give my queens their credit, okay?
That's right. So if Yves Saint Laurent or somebody comes out with this next year, we're going to be like, you stole it from Jinx.
Exactly.
She had a beautiful garden growing up out of the top part of her décolletage. There's actual blooms and greenery. And it even comes out, there's a detail in the sleeve where the flowers are coming out of the sleeve. It's like a garden is growing out of this dress. I thought it was absolutely gorgeous.
This dress was just unspeakably lovely dress.
Yeah, it was pretty. It was a moment. It was a moment.
Up next, you had the Vivian.
Who did this whole kind of S&M gown. All right. So I know people who are into this sort of thing.
Oh, you do?
I do. I met a guy in a bar in Atlanta who not only told me he was into being immobilized, he showed me pictures. He showed me pictures, Lonnie. He was in a sleeping bag, like an army sleeping bag, and there were belts going all the way up to the sleeping bag and a mouth opening, just a small mouth opening for his face at the top of the sleeping bag. And he gets off on being immobilized. And if that sleeping bag was turned into a gown, it would be what the Vivian is wearing.
Wow. Well, this was a beautiful gown. I'm not touching that.
It's a BDSM. Have you ever met anybody who's into BDSM and they're like, I want you to tie me up? Are you like, taxi, I'm out of here?
Of course. Where's my Uber? Where is my Uber?
I'm not tying you up. I'm not going to do it.
You know, my safe word is banana. I'm like, wait, player. What are you talking about?
What's going to happen?
You know?
What's going to happen tonight? Leslie Jones had a joke about that on SNL one time. She's like, when I'm done with you, you're going to be like a shoe in the dryer. Just ka-dunk, ka-dunk, ka-dunk.
I'm not all into that, but, you know,
okay.
I don't criticize people who are, you know, hey, life is short. Whatever
not
you
judging.
Need to do to get off, get off.
Absolutely. Well, this is kind of like, this was a BDSM gown. She's tied up all the way in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
The veil is covering her face and she has a ball gag.
I was like, okay.
I think this is edgy though.
Very edgy.
This is very, I think this is like when she's talking about, I want to bring British drag to the runway. Mm-hmm. I think this is very edgy.
Okay,
and
you go blame it on the Brits. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to blame it on the Brits.
Okay.
I'm going to blame it on the Brits. Because this is, I liked it. I thought it was very provocative.
Yeah, okay. I'm getting
moving
nightmares.
Right
can you tell? I'm triggered,
okay.
Alec.
All right.
So, after the draguation speeches, mm-hmm. RuPaul had another surprise for all of the queens, and she wanted to give them a speaker, somebody that we all know. Mm-hmm. And some of us love. I know I do. Mm-hmm. And that was Speaker mm-hmm. Nancy Pelosi.
Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, it was such a surprise. And she came out in her yellow suit. And she gave a wonderful, just a wonderful little speech saying how she was so proud of the queens for who they are and being who they are. And mm-hmm. I thought that was a really nice surprise.
I thought it was great. And they even talked about that shady clap she gave to Donald Trump after the State of the Union address. I thought that was so great. And so smart of them to have her on the show talking about voting. You know, I think the political reach of this, you know, the audience, because they come out with that vote sign after every show. And we're coming up on a midterm election. So I thought it was so smart.
It's very smart. Really, really and you great. Know what? I love the way Drag Race always incorporates that. I remember when we did Celebrity Drag Race, we actually did like a mini challenge concerning voting. So it's a nice way to tie it in and not hit you over the head, but it gives you a little like, okay, just a reminder.
Right.
Coming
it's,
up,
it's, so. It's the best kind of activism. It's a perfect example of it's easier to catch bees with honey than vinegar. It's like wrap up a political message in a laugh. That's very, very powerful. There's so much more to talk about, and we will right after this break.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. Did you miss us?
So, okay, now we're going to the judges. They're going to pick the top two. Who were your top two?
Well, I loved Raja. And since she hadn't gotten a Legendary Legend star yet, I was really, really rooting for her. And I would have been fine with either the Jinx or the Vivian being the other part of it.
I thought it would have been Raja, and I thought maybe Monet. But, well, now that I think about it, it would have been Raja. I like that. And then I thought it would have been Shay. That's what I thought. Shay, because of Shay's speech.
Right.
But the top two that the judges picked were Jinx Monsoon and Raja.
I was surprised that the Vivian wasn't part of that equation, because she was super strong, but I agree with this. I think it's fine.
Yeah, I think the Vivian was a surprise, too.
Did she have like a shitty look on her face?
No, when she's off to the side? I think she was surprised though. I do think that she was surprised. So they had to lip sync, and they lip synced to My Girl Lizzo.
I didn't know this song. I wasn't familiar with Better in Color.
Oh yeah, I love this song. I love Lizzo. She's just a great girl. Fun songs.
Have you met Lizzo?
Yes, yeah. She actually came on my talk show before she blew up. She came on.
Really?
Yeah. And she had performed, and that's when she was trying to hustle and make it. And to see where she is today and to embrace her body, to embrace herself. Uh-huh. She's always been body positive. But now to see a person like her blow up, it's just nice to see her. And she's just a great girl. And
we really
talk every now and then.
You do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you get concert tickets?
No. You know what? I buy my tickets. Now, what I do ask for, if I buy the ticket, is I will contact them and say, can I get a backstage pass?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be surprised or whatever. And so I do ask for that, but I'll buy my tickets. I support all artists. I just believe in
I'm
that,
cheap. You know? I ask for free stuff all the time.
Nothing's wrong with that.
I'm 50. So. That's the Asian side of me. I can say that because I'm Asian. Okay, so the lip sync, I thought they were both really, really good, but again, they were doing different things.
Yes.
Jinx was really selling the song, and Raja was being Raja, and the winner turned out to be Jinx Monsoon.
Definitely.
Again.
Yeah, I had to agree with that. Now, that means that Jinx has 2 stars?
She has 2 stars. So she has the biggest target on her back right now. And then they said the twist was they're going to give out their stars. Because they both get 2 stars, right?
Right.
And they're going to give out their extra star in the following week, which I thought was like, well, now that's a great way to keep people tuned in.
I mean, when I say that was a great twist, because I'm like, okay, who they going to... RuPaul's like, no, next week you're going to give your star. I'm like,
next week.
Yeah. Love it. So Jinx Monsoon, she wins a cash tip of $10,000. And she could block a fellow contestant.
And she blocks the Vivian.
Wow.
That's shots fired. That's like, I've got my eye on you. I think you're good. And I think that's why the block has forced people to be good sports, because it's the best backhanded compliment. It's messed up that you're blocked, but you were acknowledging that this person is a threat to my placement in this competition.
I mean, that was the smartest move, because Jinx now has 2 stars. The Vivian only has 1. She can't win 1 for the next episode.
No.
She can perform and she can win the money, but can't win a star.
Yeah, I don't know how any of this is going to shake out. I mean, I really don't.
Unless by next week, Raja gives her a star. See? I mean, I don't know.
I wouldn't give the star to somebody who has 2. I wouldn't.
Already has 1. I hope someone gives. I'm hoping for next week that someone gives Evie a star.
Evie. Yeah. Because she deserves it.
Yeah.
She deserves it. What's your favorite moment from the show?
I love the speeches.
Yeah.
I loved, like I said, Shay's. I loved Trinity's. I loved Evie's. I loved everyone's speeches, but those 3 in particular I really loved.
Yeah.
What was yours?
I love Raja saying everybody's going to die.
That's going to be a meme.
Yes.
This is the thing about RuPaul's Drag Race. The best memes come out of each episode. Yeah. You know how many memes of me I've seen with me going, "You vomit."
I love it. My favorite queen from this episode was Shay. I just love that gardening outfit, and I love her story. I love just hearing all about her.
Yeah, I would have to say I loved Shay. Yeah, I love Shay.
Me too. We're both in agreement. Do you stand by your original winner pick?
Well.
You changed to the Vivian.
You know.
And she had a tricky week.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about next week. And I'm like, okay, the sister, she's not going to be able to get a star unless someone gives it to her. And I don't think Raja is going to give it to her. I know Jinx is not going to give it to her. Y'all find out next week who I
am. All right. Lonnie, you cannot not pick somebody for this week. You have to pick a drag queen because this is a bet going. There's a mani-pedi at stake.
Really? You're going to make me pick?
I'm going to make you.
Okay, the person to win it all will probably, in my opinion right now, and I probably will change it next week, but that's me because I can, Jinx Monsoon.
I'm sticking with Trinity just because she's got the fever. She wants this so bad. But whatever, however it turns out, if you talk about RuPaul's Drag Race on social media, send these queens your love.
Yes.
It's so easy to leave a shady comment or a criticism of what you don't like. But if you knew what these girls went through to be on this show, he would show them a lot of love. So just do that, because it's all about love, Lonnie Love.
Yeah, I mean, if you see these wonderful queens performing and it's something that you like, just send them a little tweet saying, hey, you did great this week. I loved you in this episode. It doesn't hurt. And where can we catch you, Alec?
Well, you can find me on my socials if you want to send me a nice note. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter. Where can we find you, Lonnie Love?
You can find me on Instagram at Comic Lonnie Love or Twitter at Just Lonnie Love, okay?
Now, if you like this episode, why don't you rate and review us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and tell a friend.
And listen to Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast on the iHeart app, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch new episodes of All-Stars Season 7 on Paramount Plus.
We'll see you next time.
We'll see you then. Bye.
Bye.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.